country man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women and more boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly.
Welcome to the show.
My grandpa taught me how to live off.
You are tuned into the Trump phenomenon here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is July 18th, 2018. I'm James Kelso. This show is live. Paul Fromm with us live from Canada. Hi, Paul. And thanks for joining us, Paul.
Yeah, okay. Good to be here.
Yeah. Well, as we clear the decks here for the show, welcoming all you folks out there. You can participate as well by calling in at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And just looking at some of the things that we might want to start the discussion with, I liked very much Rand Paul. Rand Paul is turning out to be an awfully good U.S. Senator. And so I thought I might play a little segment of Rand Paul commenting on John Brennan, the former director of the CIA, who in 1976, in the first federal election in which he voted, he was born in 1955, he voted for Gus Hall, the candidate of the American Communist Party.
Brennan did?
Yeah, John Brennan.
Holy jumping. How did he ever get security clearance?
I know.
It's not like he voted a Democrat or the Green Party or the Prohibitionist Party. I mean, un-bloody believable.
Well, he just couldn't vote for a right winger like Jimmy Carter. So in 1970s.
I mean, there were times even Jimmy the Tooth made sense on a few issues.
Yeah. So, voting, you know, folks that are old enough to remember Gus Hall, perennial candidate of the Communist Party of the USA. I would think voting for Gus Hall would make you unable to pass a security clearance to work at Starbucks or McDonald's. But no, it's enough. It's good enough for a director of the CIA.
Oh, and, No wonder. Yeah. I just caught a piece of it when I came in on my favorite disinformation toilet, CNN. Donald Trump was talking about Brennan.
Yeah. Let's see, Gus Hall. Oh, my goodness. He, General Secretary of the National Committee of the Communist Party USA. He served in that position from 1959 to 2000. And only his death caused him to be relieved of the position, which is common in communist enterprises, that you you become dictator for life.
Right.
He his vice president of the Communist Party was Angela Davis. Remember her? And born. This is a poor distinction for the locals here. Born in Cherry Township, Minnesota. And he was born Arvo Kusta Hallberg. He changed that to Gus Hall. Died at the age of 90 in Manhattan. Political party communist. And he lived in Yonkers, New York. His alma mater, I love this, the International Lenin School. Born in a rural community on northern Minnesota's Mesabi Iron Range, and he moved to Minneapolis to further his Young Communist League activities. And my goodness, let's go listen to Rand Paul, because he brings this fact up in his commentary on John Brennan, director of the CIA.
What do you think about what John Brennan's doing right now? Let's start there.
You know, John Brennan started out his adulthood by voting for the Communist Party presidential candidate. He's now ending his career by showing himself to be the most biased, bigoted, over-the-top, hyperbolic, sort of unhinged director of the CIA we've ever had. And really, it's an insult to everything about our government to have a former head of the CIA calling the president treasonous just because he doesn't like him. But realize that Brennan, you know, I filibustered Brennan. I tried to keep Brennan from ever being the leader of the CIA. But realize that Brennan and Clapper are known for wanting to expand the authority of the intelligence agencies to grab up everyone's information, including Americans. And so I don't have a lot of respect for these people. Even before they decided to go on hating the president, I disliked these people because they wanted to grab up so much power and use it against the American people.
Okay, now, you characterized it very well the other day. You said if you've been investigated for a year and a half on claims that you don't find founded, then what are you supposed to think? And that was the perspective of the president on Monday. And I know that's what you believe. Here's the tweet. Some people hate the fact that I got along well with President Putin of Russia. They would rather go to war than see this. It's called Trump derangement syndrome. I think
that's a tweet. Now, the commentator there, he's a Fox commentator. I forget the name of this one. He's pretty weak. But he's quoting Donald Trump. Who said that some people would rather go to war than, and it's called Trump derangement syndrome. Then we come back to Rand Paul, who's much more articulate.
You as a doctor diagnosed that, did you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the best way to look at this, and I've told people, is that, you know, Reagan called out the Soviet empire for being the evil empire, tear down the wall. He had very aggressive rhetoric. But then Reagan did sit down with Gorbachev. And I'm guessing in their personal meetings, he didn't call him an evil tyrant. He didn't storm around and shake his fist. They had rapport in order to get to four major strategic arms reductions where we reduced nuclear weapons, reduced the threat of nuclear war. So I think that Trump responding at times with, bold rhetoric against some of these foreign leaders, against North Korea, but then being willing to sit down with them, really is in the mold of what Reagan did. And I think
but
most
so
of these
much
people
of this,
are just deranged for Trump, and I think that's why they're crazy.
Now, notice this host, who is one of the, there aren't really bad ones at Fox, but this one's very, very limp. Notice him interrupting someone he has no right to interrupt, Rand Paul. And he's, there are a few people at Fox who belong really at CNN or one of these other fake news networks.
So much of this issue comes back to him and how he's trying to sell it, though. I know what he's thinking. He's saying, I want it. Get over it. Don't try and take it away from me on illegal grounds. But he's got to say it that way. And if he doesn't say it that way, people don't remember where he's coming from.
Completely inarticulate. I have no idea what that guy just said. We'll just leave it at that. I love the way a great mind, Rand Paul, opened it up with his list of, listen to this list of adjectives to describe John Brennan from Rand Paul.
Think about what John Brennan's doing right now. Let's start there. You know, John Brennan started out his adulthood by voting for the Communist Party presidential candidate. He's now ending his career by showing himself to be the most biased,
bigoted,
over the top, hyperbolic, sort of unhinged director of the CIA we've ever had, and really
and unhinged. I like that. I particularly like unhinged, and John Brennan is exactly that. And the Trump derangement syndrome, I don't know who came up, who coined the phrase. It's very apt. Somebody out there will be Trump derangement syndrome, TRS, TDS, Trump derangement syndrome, TDS. Somebody gets credit for that, and who it is. Be very interesting to find out. But now, speaking of Rand Paul mentions, he says, I don't know, I wasn't privy to the conversations between Putin and Trump. Another person who starts from that same point of view in her commentary today is Ann Coulter. And she's got a great editorial. Putin is killing millions of Americans, is her headline. She says, I don't know what Trump said during that 2 hours when he met privately with Russian President Vladimir Putin. But like so many in the media, I know what I hope he said. Mr. Putin, I need you to publicly admit your complicity in our illegal alien problem. Then she says, only if Putin owns up to deploying a vast network of Russian assets to personally direct the movements of millions of illegal aliens across the Sonoran Desert through dozens of checkpoints and into our country in fulfillment of his master plan to attack America's financial viability, national security, and future prospects, will the media, the Democratic Party, and corporate Republicans ever emerge from their stupor and admit that we have a huge problem on our southern border? Illegal immigrants have killed multiple times more Americans than Russia has in its entire history or could ever hope to kill, even with a well-placed nuclear bomb. But nothing will be done unless we can prove Putin is behind it. Our media and government want you to fixate on Russia's annexation of Crimea as the big problem facing our country, hoping you'll forget about the gaping hole on our border. I haven't counted to see how many Americans died as a result of Putin's reacquiring Crimea. Yes, I have. Zero. Meanwhile, Mexican drug couriers kill more Americans every week than the communist Soviet Union did when it shot down Korean Flight 007 for flying into its airspace, almost starting a nuclear war. Obsessing over irrelevant, unsolvable problems in remote parts of the globe is how liberals prove they are intellectuals. North Korea, Syria, Russia, that's what you're supposed to care about, not your own country. Only Walmart shoppers care about their own country. It would be as if in 1939, as the Nazi threat was looming, British newspapers discussed nothing but the bushfires in Victoria, Australia. How many died? Do they need our help? What shall we do? Where does the prime minister stand? With Russia, liberals get an extra bonus of bludgeoning Trump over his non-existent collusion with Russia, our greatest enemy since very, very recently. At least no Democratic president. Now, again, Ann Coulter is so thick on the sarcasm, so you got to read it carefully, and it's easy for somebody like me to mess it up. So I'll try to read it carefully so you get it. At least no Democratic president ever publicly embraced a Russian dictator while handing him all of Eastern Europe at Yalta. So the left's conscience is clear. Actually, no. Until all the Roosevelt statues come down, liberals need to settle down about Russia. At least Trump isn't calling Putin Uncle Vlad, and giving him one-third of Europe, as he is being advised by two Russian spies. While I'm sure Russia's invasion of Ukraine and annexation of Crimea were a grave threat to every man, woman, and child in America, Putin should also be held to account for the rape and murder of thousands of Americans on our own soil every year as a result of apparently unstoppable illegal immigration. Who knew a wall was such an inconceivable engineering feat? Where else to lay the blame for this monstrous attack but on Putin, the most evil man since Hitler? True, liberals have spent decades lobbying for a never-ending flow of illegal aliens, but that shouldn't be a problem. They also spent decades defending Russian dictators. Abandoning every position they've ever held to attack Trump is standard operating procedure these days. In addition to Trump's not challenging Putin to a fist fight in Helsinki, the media have gone bananas over the fact that he cited the findings of our intelligence agencies, but then added that Putin denied the charges. He's believing Putin over our own intelligence agencies. Now, remember, that's John Brennan, folks. Moral equivalence, treason, high crimes and misdemeanors, Kristallnacht. Trump might as well have trampled on a portrait of George Washington. Or since we're talking about liberals, Stalin. But the way I remember it, elected Democrats, even Democratic candidates for president, have criticized our intelligence agencies pretty ferociously, particularly regarding the Iraq War. Let's go down here a little bit. Let's skip down here. She is such a sharp intellectual. The left needs something a little more consequential to make us mad at Russia, and illegal immigration is just the ticket. The only thing liberals care about is Russia, but the only thing most Americans care about is their own country. The solution is staring us right in the face. Convince Putin to admit that he is responsible for the millions of foreign invaders sneaking into our country, depressing wages on a good day, and raping little girls and committing sickening murders on the bad days. In exchange, we'll give Putin Bill Browder and George Soros. There she goes. Boy, just thick on the sarcasm and the irony. And
She's a really good writer.
Yes, she is. And a good piece there from Ann Coulter. And then tying this in a little bit, there was another headline, just a particular one-off event or one-time event, but it's pretty sickening, as Ann Coulter said there, on the bad days. There was a crime in Vadsø, Norway. Let me see if I can find it. This is a little town of 5,000, just to show you how bad it's gotten on the immigration invasion and how bad the derangement syndrome has gotten, not just in America, but throughout the European world, this craziness that we've engaged in. And remember, we played Donald Trump yesterday being interviewed by Fox, and he said on immigration, it's crazy. Our immigration policy is crazy. Well, in Vadsø, spelled with a V, Vadsø, Norway, which is a little town of 5,000 at the extreme northern tip of Norway. It's about as nor as you can get in Norway. They have, believe it or not, this is the kind of thing we have to live with here in North Dakota, which is a 30% Norwegian state. So it's kind of, we share this very same problem. With the same probability. Why would Muslims end up in North Dakota? Well, for the same reason they've ended up in Vadsø, Norway. I'll tell you the story and the murder that occurred on Saturday right after this break.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is
getting. We're back, folks.
On a highway.
And I just took this story, which Breitbart featured. They recognize the importance of it. A murder in Norway. And just set the scene. Imagine you're this little harbor town, only 5,000 people, all of them Norwegians. Looking very much like their descendants, their cousins here in North Dakota. It's an amazing civilization, the Norwegian one, and an amazing people. But now in Lazo, spelled town I was unfamiliar with, V-A-D-S-O, and that's the O with a slash through it, an Afghan asylum seeker has been arrested after an 18-year-old Norwegian cashier was stabbed to death in an apparent random attack while working at a store in his tiny rural hometown. At 10 p.m. Saturday night, police were called to an attack at the Co-op supermarket in Lazo, reporting that the victim, Havard Pedersen, so we know what he looks like, Havard Pedersen, was found with cuts to the throat and declared dead shortly after emergency services arrived at the scene. With the help of a private boat, after the suspect jumped into the sea, police arrested a 17-year-old Afghan Sunday morning. And but now here's, that's bad, but it gets worse. And by the way, why was the 17-year-old in Norway? At the age of 14 in the year 2015, he was granted permission by the Norwegian government for a permit to reside in Norway. And he was an unaccompanied minor with no paperwork, with nothing. And, you know, I've credited the good sense of the Norwegian people for staying out of the EU, Paul. And I said one of the reasons that was very smart on the part of the Norwegians is that exempted them, that protected them from this flood of people that can walk unmolested anywhere they want to go within the EU. But I guess I was wrong, because that's what this guy did. He had no trouble getting into Norway. So even the Norwegians, on their own, without pressure from the EU, they're giving these permissions. So this person is there with Norwegian governmental permission, but now it gets worse. And this is hard to, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful in any way of the poor 18-year-old who, you know, classic Muslim murder, his throat cut multiple times. We've all seen this in videos. This is the way they do it. It's horrible. Can you imagine the scene? This is how they do it. This is how they do us white people in, slashing our throat multiple times, sometimes cutting our heads off. This person, by the way, other Norwegians had warned the Lazo police that this guy was violent and that there was a big problem. The police had talked to this 17-year-old Afghan two times in the last 30 days. No action. Just, you know, we'll talk to you. But now comes the worst of the story. And part of the complaints about this Afghan was that he was following young girls. Well, I'll let you imagine what those young girls look like. They were Norwegian girls, folks. I guarantee it. And then here's the worst part of the story. The family of the poor 18-year-old whose throat was cut, they actually hired an attorney to make a press announcement that the family does not want any speculation over this case, because they have no desire for this to be presented in such a way that it could end up encouraging. And folks, I'm going to about to say that word. You know what it is? Racism.
Oh my God! They are too sick to live. It sounds like the daughter of a top official in the European Union in Germany about a year and a half ago. She was working as a volunteer in one of the refugee, so-called, you know, refugee centers, and she got brutally raped and stabbed by one of the Muslim so-called refugees, and her own father said he hoped this would not lead to anti-immigrant feeling. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad, and thanks, Mom and Dad, for the family and the rest of the family that actually hired an attorney to give a press release immediately. This was just reflexive for them. We don't want anybody to present this story in such a way, the way Kelso is presenting it right now, because it would encourage racism. Because Kelso is saying this Afghan shouldn't have been in Lazo, shouldn't have been in Norway. This Kelso is saying if this Afghan hadn't been admitted, that young Norwegian would be alive and still at his station in the store. We'll be back in a moment. Maybe Kelso was right.
Best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man could still work, still would. The best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? And I will roll downhill
like a snowball headed for hell. Well, I'll tell you, with stories like this, it sure looks like we would be. Thank goodness that the resistance has formed. But in this story, folks, this is the part about it that applies to all of us and applies to our whole white world. And that is, what happened to these parents? How could they, I don't know, what if this 18-year-old, this is their son. This is their son. They poured their life into raising him. And they get the news that his throat has been cut multiple times at his store by an Afghan, a 17-year-old Afghan, who's got, you know, the usual accoutrement of these people, which is a big knife in his pants. And, you know, we white people, we don't walk around with weapons. That was a real eye-opener for me, Paul, when I read somewhere, somebody actually did a study of the armaments, the weapons that non-whites carry with them. And they do. They are generally carrying weapons, knives, guns. And white people are walking around like fools, trusting, unarmed. But imagine that you're this. I like what you said, Paul. Thanks, Dad.
I think maybe an idea, James, if you can do it, is to get Dr. Kevin McDonald for a guest appearance. You know, maybe for half an hour on the show on Sunday. And run this story past him and get his comments, because he's done a lot of work on misplaced altruism. There's something defective in whites. Altruism is a great thing among our own people. You know, if we see a little child lost in a mall, we go up to them and try to comfort them and make some effort to try to find where the parents are and things like that. We take care of our own ideally. But the misplaced altruism means that you've got some person here more concerned about kids in Ethiopia or Somalia than they are in kids in their own backyard. And I know he's written a lot about it, and he's got some good ideas, which might help explain. I mean, this is depraved behavior. I had not as bad an experience, but when I was still a teacher, I was in the union, and they were just bringing in, this would be about 1994 or 5, they were just bringing in what we called employment equity, or Americans call affirmative action. And I said, well, to our union or local branch union leader, well, what's our stand on that? Thinking, well, of course we're opposed to it, right? Oh no, she said, we're in favor. I said, in favor? I said, but it's going to negatively impact our own members, who'll have more difficult time to get promotions because they're not one of the privileged minorities, and it will certainly impact our children, who I want to go into education, because they won't be. Well, she says, I know. She said, I know my two sons, who are, I think, both taking math or science in university, will probably never get to teach in the county we were in, because they're of the wrong sex and the wrong color. And I thought, honest to God, you're not stupid. You understand what it means, and you don't care? I mean, I was furious. I wanted to say, I hope your sons pay you back someday and leave you in an old folks' home, neglected and abused and indifferently waited on by third world immigrants. You deserve it, you horrible mother. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And so here are these parents and their son. I mean, it's just the reason I'm presenting this, folks, is that there is a problem for us white folks, and that is that we've got to straighten out within ourselves. Not you particularly there in the audience. You're probably free of this problem, but our brothers and sisters, a lot of them have a big problem inside between their ears. They have a problem. They think there's something wrong with wanting their own 18-year-old son to live, and that there's something wrong with being angry over the animal, and that's the term that Donald Trump used. And remember, the left was livid when Donald Trump called these MS-13 gangsters animals. There's something wrong with calling the animal who killed your son an animal. There's something wrong with being angry. And you actually go out and hire an attorney so that he can make a statement to the world. And you don't even, you do this reflexively. This is so deeply programmed into you that it's not like the family has to debate for a week or have a family council. No, it's within days or hours of their son's death. While his body is almost still warm, they issue a statement that we don't want anybody to think that this obviously racial crime, I mean, come on. And that had nothing to do with the guy being an Afghan. It had nothing to do with letting Afghans into Norway. And not only into Norway, into this extreme, most extremely north town. The most improbable, if you had to pick a place where it would be unlikely that you would ever see an Afghan, it's this town. And the mayor, I didn't read this part of the article, the mayor said that they have a number. He said they have many tens, he said, of these unaccompanied minor Muslims in their town. So how in the hell did these people, I myself am very up on Norway. I don't know how you get to Lhasa. Is there a road? Would you have to fly there? Do you have to go in a boat?
It's
I have no idea.
North, isn't it?
It's the extreme most northern. It's right up at the Arctic Circle. You know, it's the most improbable place that anybody would ever be, especially an Afghan. So how do they have a whole community? And we have it right here in North Dakota. We have whole communities of people from places like Somalia and Bhutan. No one, I don't think 10 people in North Dakota could find Bhutan on a map. You know, maybe a little bit more than 10, but certainly less than 1 in 100. Or Nepal, you know, or let's get even more bizarre, Sikkim. Okay, people don't even know how to say those names, but we have whole populations of people who have been guided to our state, just as they must have been guided to Lhasa. Somebody is actually, and notice that Ann Coulter's columnist. We need Putin to say, "Well, this is the great communist plot." We're sending hordes of non-Europeans into your country. And only then would the left, and of course, Coulter's obviously being sarcastic, that would not cause the left to oppose immigration. Nothing would cause the left to oppose immigration.
It's degenerate. I mean, it's like a non-life instinct. Even a bloody amoeba strives to protect its life and its own. It's yes. Like a person who would is too lazy to breathe. It's what can you say but degenerate?
Yeah, and folks, we've got to. I like the speech that Adrian Davies gives. He's an attorney from London, an advocate. He gives a speech saying we have to within our own people. We've got to get it straightened out here. As to who we are and what we are and what we have as a goal. What do we want? We've got to get this straightened out among ourselves before we can have anything, you know, we can hope to, you know, do something. And that's what this show is built on, is that idea of building, I keep coming back to this, building our family, a family which in which if one of us has his throat cut, we will not be hiring an attorney to issue a press release saying, don't say anything racist about that.
Or perhaps carrying on the family goal and metaphor, we would counsel in, you know, kind of brotherly or sisterly way, the family. You know, are you thinking what you're really doing? You don't do this. There's nothing to be to apologize for. The person who killed him, your son is bad, and some responsibility must fall upon the government that let him in. We have, I think, in the whole immigration argument in Europe and here, we haven't been accusatory enough. You know, this is on you, to the politicians. That boy was murdered by this knife-wielding Afghani who should never have been there. This is on the Minister of Immigration. Or was it an official who allowed him in? What was the official's name? And, you know, I think the Norwegians, obviously, patriots should go after these people and say, it's on you. You screwed up badly.
Yes, exactly. And I promise you, that in a town like Lhasa, because that's the way it is in America, just towns just like that all across America, there, well, I can tell you this, in this town right here, a population of over 60,000, 10 years ago, the number of murders in this town of 60,000 in a year, the average number, zero. And if you asked, well, what you had to go back and research and go back a number of years to find a single murder. That's what it's like in a town, in a place settled by 50% Germans, 30% Norwegians, 7% Swedes, and all, the rest all other wonderful European peoples. The murder was unheard of, was unthinkable. Somebody walking into a store and slitting the throat of a young man just standing at the counter. This same person chasing after a white underage white girls. But that's the norm. That's what Germany's experiencing. And Donald Trump said it. I wish I had that clip with us here where Donald Trump said, hey, I told these Europeans, you better fix this. You got a big problem. You're losing your culture. You're losing your civilization. Your nations are being destroyed. They will never be the same. Look at London. Look at Paris. Donald Trump is talking the way, Paul, you said it in the show the other day. You said, boy, this is what we've been preaching for 30 years. After you heard Trump say it.
Yeah, and his warnings to the Europeans are very timely, and many Europeans would completely agree with him. There was another incident, I guess it just sort of settled out yesterday, two shiploads of about 50 illegals, I think, and the Italians would not let them land in Sicily. And they basically kept them out in the ships and until six other European nations each agreed to take 50. I'm sorry, but there must be about 300 of them. And so France and Spain and Portugal and Malta, and I think one other, and Germany, all agreed to take 50. And the Italians have just basically said, we're filled up, no more, etc. And you know, it's a failure of will on the part of the Europeans. Now some are saying, well, maybe we should tow them back to Libya. Libya is no longer an unsafe country, in kind of a limited legal means.
And let's say this. I mean, folks, we got to, be, what do they say? I like that phrase they say, put on your big boy pants. We got to put on our big boy pants. Who the hell cares if Libya's an unsafe country? Who the hell cares? What's wrong with unloading a boatload of people back in their unsafe country? Nothing.
Well, no, they're not even Libyans. They've come from Libya. They're Africans and other Muslims who slithered in from various parts of the world.
Right. And the same applies. What's wrong with dumping them right back in the country? Yeah, we don't have. This is a peculiarly European problem. You have to call it a problem, folks. Is this belief that we have some moral responsibility? If there's something going wrong with some other people, it's our fault, and we are obligated morally to fix it at whatever expense it may incur upon us. Here's another story. We'll tie another quick one in, but let's go to our caller first. Richard in Austin. Richard, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today? I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
I'm starting to see a pattern that I saw when I was living in Seattle growing up in the 70s, when after the Vietnam War ended, and a lot of the, they called them boat people back then. And I saw in the inner city, the black folks would get mad at the boat people who were, now this sounds like I'm going to be attacking you, but I'm not. I'm just trying to understand the mindset. Because it seems like the victims are being blamed for something we've already seen from Vietnam right up till now, and on the Arizona Texas border, America, CIA, because it's never us Americans, it's never the good guys, me, you, and the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines. It's always the CIA and the Illuminati or whatever else you want to call them. They are the catalysts that kick off these wars.
Tell me if I'm hearing you right. The phenomenon that you're referring to is one I'm very familiar with, which is that very stable communities of black Americans whose families and trees in America go back hundreds of years, very stable black communities with, nice lawns and, nice neighborhoods, they were destroyed by an army of Mexicans that came in. The Mexicans were the most noticeable, but you mentioned the Vietnamese came in, and every other population of invading immigrants, and not only did they invade white communities and destroy those communities and drive the white people out, this is a little known fact. There are whole areas of Los Angeles, for example, which used to be and had been for a long time stable black communities with good schools. And those, you go there now, and there are chickens in the yard. Black folks have been driven out. Nobody speaks English. The blacks that are left in the local high school are in constant warfare with the Mexicans who are trying to finish the job of driving them out. Did I get that right or wrong?
Right, but the point I'm trying to make, which is really the bottom line, is if it wasn't for guys like my uncle, who I love, he was a preacher's son, and he went to Vietnam and started bombing under orders the Vietnamese or wherever else, the Viet Cong. So the results of him following orders led to our neighborhoods being invaded by these poor chicken farmers.
Good point. Yeah, good point, Richard. And stay there. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Richard. Stay tuned.
My body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Let me ask you a simple question.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong.
young people speak in their minds.
We're back, folks. I was lining up some audio for you. We've got Richard. Richard with us in Austin. And Richard, I'd like to agree with your last point there. Was it your dad or your grandpa that went to Vietnam?
No, it was my uncle, the only one I ever got to know. And he died shortly after he got back from Agent Orange poisoning. But he should have never been over
there. Your uncle. I'm sorry. Right. I didn't listen carefully enough. Your uncle. Well, what you said is very true, is that, and I mentioned it on the show the other day, one of the blowbacks, one of the direct results of our war making in Vietnam, which Donald Trump would not have participated in, and just a little side note, folks, Donald Trump did have the opportunity to go off to war in Vietnam, and he had a deferment, but I know a lot of other fellows my age, I was the same age, there are an awful lot of us young men back in the during the Vietnam draft who had better things to do and, you know, said, you know, this does not look like a good deal. And there are many soldiers, and I totally salute those young men, you know, my friends who went to Vietnam and fought. But they, you know, they got hosed.
Well, let me ask you this.
Well, let me finish the thought, though. But hang on, Richard. They got hosed by the system because the system lied to them. It lied to them about why they were in Vietnam. It lied to them about what they were fighting for. And then the result of the Vietnam War was exactly the opposite of what they thought they were fighting for, because what they got out of that war was more than a million Vietnamese swarming into America. And like you say, Richard, pushing Americans who had fought in the war out of their own neighborhoods. Did I get that right, Richard?
Right. So my question is, how do we justify blaming the victims again who have become refugees, a mass herd of desperate people? How do we keep blaming them? Because they would have never been put on these boats. They would never had any admission to go to Sweden, Germany, wherever they're going. Just like the Mexicans would have never came over here in herds. I mean, they would come and go. When I was in the military at Bergstrom, they would come for the seasonal picking and then leave. But because of the drug wars that we created all this mess in the West.
Well, okay, You make another good point, Richard. But the illegals, the aliens that swarm into our countries, our European countries, they are not blameless. They are not. Right. The worst blame should go on the people who kicked open the door and are holding their foot in the door and keeping it open and welcoming them and bringing them to places like Ladso, Norway. Those people, and as Paul mentioned, those people should be held accountable. But we also have to be tough on the opportunists who, you know, will do anything to get out of their hellhole countries and get into ours. No, we don't owe them a thing. And putting them, sending them back when they...
But the PNAC document is rarely mentioned. We talked about it last time. I mean, they declared war on third world countries.
Yes.
And now this is the result.
Richard, that's my fault. We're running into the clock. We'll resume all of this discussion tomorrow night. Richard, thanks for calling. Paul, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
And we'll see you all on the Trump Phenomenon again tomorrow night, folks.
Great.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.